worthy as the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, honor, glory, and blessing. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a moment, please. Come on, we're going to get into a time in the Word this evening and just want to start tonight just to ask you, like, where are you in Christ? We sing worthy as the Lamb, and we understand that we're here tonight to celebrate the triumph that we have because one died in our place. And in that gives us this amazing, amazing victory, this amazing celebration. But let me ask you where you are tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? You see, Good Friday means something deeper to the one who understands it was my sin that he died for. There is this sense that I understand that without Jesus Christ, without the blood that was shed, there can be no forgiveness for my sin. And I am a sinner that is saved by grace through the beautiful work of the cross for one reason, because God loved me. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. It is love that compelled God to put his son on a tree to pay the ultimate price so that you and I could walk in victory. Church, what is it to just love him back? Do you look at the work of the cross and does that compel you to love him back? Does that compel you to honor him? Does it compel you to be amazed by him? Does it compel you to worship him and to be thankful because you see the work of the cross and Jesus Christ took the hit for you and he took the hit for me? And that drives me to be amazed by him. It drives me to worship him. It drives me to walk in obedience to his word. It drives me to hate sin. We are called to identify sin and hate it because it's sin that put Jesus to the cross. Don't play games with sin. Jesus dealt with it on the cross. And it is tonight that leads us into a time of seeing the work of the cross and unpacking some things tonight. And I hope that you came ready to hear tonight and then ready to respond. Jesus, we love you. We are truly amazed by you. We do thank you for the cross. You are worthy to be praised. Jesus, thank you. As John so boldly and so loudly declared publicly, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus, you accomplished that on the cross. And we are here tonight to celebrate and to honor you and to remember that work and to remember what took place 2,000 years ago, that we are free tonight, that we are forgiven tonight, and that we can boldly say that I am safe and I am saved only because of Jesus Christ, who put himself on a cross for me. That is my forgiveness by the shedding of his blood. Jesus, we love you and we honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Come on, BC. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. You may have a seat. So good. Come on. Luke 22. Come on. Come on, let's get into this. Come on. I am amazed that we get to unpack this and we look at this and we see this. And I hope that you've taken some time. If you need communion, we've got some guys running around and they can give you some communion. If you miss it on the way in, that's fine. Man, we're just thankful that you find yourself right here. Man, I want this to be a night, honestly, that we reflect on the work of the cross and we remember what Jesus Christ did for us and why we celebrate Good Friday. And why we see it as such a victory and why we see it as triumphant and why we praise him and why we worship him and why we walk in obedience to him. But church, this is what I hope tonight. I hope tonight as we look to Good Friday, we look to Jesus. I hope that this becomes so personal to you. This has been our prayer. Number one, that you would be here. Check, accomplished. You're here. You were prayed into this place tonight, and we're excited that you're here. We love you. I'm glad someone invited you. But I want the cross to come alive to you tonight in a way where you see Jesus' pain was for a purpose. I was reading through this, and I'm looking through this, and I was just once again going over all of the pain that Jesus suffered. And I was just looking at this, and it came to my heart that there was a purpose for all that pain. And I was that purpose. So that my sin could be released, and so that I could be redeemed, and I could be bought back by the precious blood of Christ. That there was this purpose behind his pain that drove him to the cross. We're going to look at three different things tonight. We're going to look at his pain emotionally. We're looking at his pain physically. We're going to look at his pain spiritually. We're going to see that there was a deep purpose behind his pain. And that was for you and I to be justified. So that you and I would be redeemed and bought back. And when you understand that, when you look at this and you're like, oh, whoo, like for me, I don't deserve this. I know, neither do I. Man, I can't, there's no way I could earn that. I know, we're all in the same boat. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he go through such suffering? Why would he go through such pain? Why? Because he loves you. And church, when you get that, when you understand that, it changes everything. It changes everything. You look at Jesus, who is innocent and perfect and eternal, left heaven and put on flesh to become 100% man and yet still 100% God. I don't know how we can truly get to the depth of that. I don't know how we can get to the bottom of that. But here tonight, we see a picture of his 100% flesh side, the man side of his suffering. Man, if you at Luke 22, just turn to Luke 22, please. And I just want to start right here where he's in the garden. And it's verse 39, and it says this. And he came out, that's Jesus. And Jesus came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from there about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray. So you know that Jesus is in this position now, that he's on his knees and he's beginning to pray, and he's beginning to cry out to the Father. And this is, church, you got to get it. This is the moment. Like this is what he's lived for now, 33 and a half years. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is it. This is the moment right here. Knew all along this is what it's going to take. Knew the exact circumstances of what it would take to get to the cross. He knew all this. Yet here he is. He knows that he's the answer for the sin issue. He knows that. He knows the very purpose for which he came as the Messiah, to die as an innocent, perfect lamb, to put himself on that cross. He knew all of this. But we see this agony, and we see this deep, deep struggle. This anguish with Jesus emotionally. And he begins to praise on his knees, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He prays this three times. You can imagine he's before the Father and he's on his knees and he knows what he's about to entail. He knows what it's going to take emotionally. He knows what it's going to take physically. And he knows what it's going to take spiritually. And here you got Jesus in the garden and he's crying out, Father, is there any other way? Do I need to bear this cup? When you go deep into what the cup represented, the cup represents the wrath of God. Do I need to drink this cup? Do I need to endure your wrath? He knew what that meant. He knew that he was going to have to take the hit, to take on the wrath of God, to drink that cup in complete full. And he knew for the first time all of forever, which we can't wrap our minds around, there would be this brokenness between him and the Father. Because God is holy. When Jesus Christ took on our sin, God the Father had to abandon and forsake his own Son. And Jesus knew it. And there was wrath that was poured out on Jesus, and he's saying, listen, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup. Is there any other way? And now you got to understand something. Jesus is in this emotional place that he is in agony. And I love that you don't see that God answers. Listen, you see in Scripture there's times that you hear the voice of God thundering that he gives an answer to Jesus. You hear that through the New Testament. There's times that God Almighty and others heard it where he spoke to Jesus verbally and there was this voice and people heard it. And here you've got Jesus crying out to the Father and we get no answer. The Bible says that he was deeply grieved, even to the point of death. He was so distraught, he was so deeply grieved that he was even to the point of death. It says this, and now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and sweat became like drops of blood. Now, I want you to see this scene. The angel is only mentioned here in Luke. It's not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and John. This angel shows up, and I believe this. I believe that this was the Father's answer. For so many years, I looked and said, how long did she got to answer him? Like here, you've got this son, and he's in this broken place. He's in this place of this deep grieving, and this deep grieving, the Greek word is the deepest word that you can get to a place of complete brokenness and sorrow. He is in such agony. He is in such sorrow. He's on his face, and he's sweating like drops of blood. Many would say that it actually was blood, but we don't exactly know. It was like drops of blood that he was sweating. He was in the worst condition that you can possibly even fathom as he's agonizing, and he understands what's going to take place. He's crying out to the Father. And I tell you, church, for so many years, I'm like, man, he didn't even get an answer until you look at the angel. I mean, what did that look like? Like, we don't know this angel. We don't know if it was Gabriel. We don't know if it was Michael. We don't know his name. We don't know if it was an ark. We just know it was an angel. Could you imagine his assignment? We know that angels are God's ministering agents. Could you imagine the Father going, I need you to go. I need you to go. Me? Michael, like, send, like, this is just an unnamed angel that has this assignment. And church, I need you to see this, because this was the Father's answer. He sent an angel, the Bible says, to strengthen him. And here in the depth of this word, I need you to know this, that this wasn't the, oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, let me help you up. Let me pat you on the back. Everything's going to be okay. Like, you ever get that type of encouragement, right? Hey, listen, I know this is bad. Everything's going to be okay. No worries. Listen, you got this. High five. Keep going. Like, that's not what this word means. I love this word. When the Bible says the angel showed up to strengthen Jesus, this means that this is a very aggressive word. It's a word that means it's time to get up. Jesus, you got to finish this. Jesus, you got to get to this. This is what this word means. It's not that, oh, you'll be all right. Come on, big fella, get to your feet. No, this was a very aggressive encouragement going, you got to fight. Jesus, you got to fight through this. There's a purpose to this. You got to get up. You got to get going. This is like, could you imagine the angel speaking to Jesus this way? Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Wham, an angel shows up. Come on, get up. You got to finish this. You got to push through. Like this wasn't some love tap on the back type of encouragement. You got to see the depth of this. The angel shows up and says, Jesus, you need to fight. You need to get through this. The circumstance that goes before you. You need to get through this. That's what this word strengthen means. So you see that Jesus is in the garden and he is a complete wreck. Lord, is there any way that I don't have to endure your wrath? And the angel comes with the answer. You need to fight. You need to fight through this. You need to get up. There's so much at stake. Being in agony, he was praying very fervently. It means that he became even more intense. And his sweat became like drops of blood. So we see that there is this serious, deep battle that is taking place within his emotions and within his soul. And he's just battling, he's battling, he's battling, he's going back and forth, and he's going back and forth, and there is this serious fight within his spirit, being 100% flesh. This is the man's side of Jesus that's just battling. With such a deep pain that I don't think we could ever get to the depth of how he felt. And then you look at the pain physically, if you would turn to Isaiah 50, please. And we know that Jesus was arrested. He was taken. He was beaten. They had these little baseball rods, little baseball bats, and they just started beating Jesus in the head. They began to spit at him and mock him. At one place, they did this like bull in the ring type thing where Jesus is in the middle. And they just came in. You ever see that in football, right? And they would just come and they would just attack Jesus. They'd blindfold him. They'd laugh at him. They'd make fun of him. And then it came down to the whipping and the flogging. What they would do is try to embarrass and shame the criminals as much as possible. They would strip them naked. Don't believe any loincloth story. They'd strip them just naked. Tie them wide open to a post. We don't even know how many Roman soldiers. You see pictures of two, but we don't even know how many there were. There could have been many that just stood around Jesus with this cat of nine tails, and it was this little baseball bat, this little wood stick, but off of these little wood stick were these leather pieces that would wrap around the body, but inside those leather pieces, there would be little stones or little balls that would tenderize the skin, and then in other parts of the leather, there was sharp bone or sharp metal that would begin to rip out the skin. And you understand something, under Roman law, there were no number. Jewish law, it was 40 minus one, it was 39 lashes. He wasn't killed under Jewish law, he was killed under Roman law, which means there was no number. This was execution. They would take you to the very edge of your life. And you could imagine whip after whip, shredding after shredding, pieces of Jesus' body just being torn, and he understood what it was. Could you imagine the physical pain of what that looked like? Could you imagine that whip just wrapping around your body and wrapping around your legs and wrapping around your back? And every time it would just shred and take out skin, it would take out meat. Listen, please, you got to understand this. There is no movie that can show this. And history tells us that many times the bones would just be exposed. And we see that this was prophesied 700 years before this in Isaiah 50. And it says this. Verse 6 says, I gave my back to those who strike me. And my cheek to those who would pluck out my beard. Could you imagine having a full beard and just having them just grab a hold of your face through your beard and just begin to rip out all of your hair and your beard out of your face? If you have a beard, I could imagine like when a little kid grabs a hold of it, you're like, ah. Could you imagine in just such aggression and anger that they hated you and they would just shred your face and they would just rip it out? And Jesus said, watch this, watch what he said, prophesied 700 years before this. He says, I gave. John 10, he tells us, I love that he tells us this. He said, I laid myself down. No one took my life. It was my initiative. It was my purpose. It was my plan. Remember when Pilate said, listen, are you kidding me? You're not going to answer me? I'm asking you this question. You're not going to answer me? I have authority over you to kill you or release you. Jesus is like, hold on. You have no authority over me unless it was given to you by my Father. Church, what happens when there's a depth to this that you understand all of this was pre-planned? All of this was God allowed. Remember when the disciples were like, come on, we got to do something. They want to fight and they want to stand for Jesus. Jesus is like, enough. Don't you know I could call down 72,000 angels and end this thing? It's got to happen this way. It's got to happen this way. There's a purpose to this. And so they lay his physically just destroyed flesh of body, and they lay him on the cross, and they nail these nails through here and through here and through his feet, and then they put that thing up in the ground and they drop that thing into the ground with his arms out like this. Shoulders came out of joint, bones became dislocated. The Bible says in Isaiah 52, 14, we'll start in 13. Behold, my servant will prosper, and he will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were astonished at you, my people. So his appearance, this is Jesus on a cross, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Your version may say he was unrecognizable as a human being. Another version may say he was so disfigured you couldn't see that he was human. But yet he was declared innocent. Pilate said, I got nothing. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's innocent, but yet there he hangs on a tree, unrecognizable as a human being, because there was a purpose to his pain. Come on, turn to Isaiah 53, please. And we see that there was a spiritual side to this. There's this moment that as he hangs on the cross, everything just goes black. And this is at noon, midday, 12 o'clock. everything goes dark. You can imagine what people are looking around going, what is happening right now? And everything just goes somber and everything goes dark. And then at the end of that 3 hours, at 3 o'clock p.m., there is this screech from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And in this, there is such a pain that I know trumped the emotional pain. It trumped the physical pain. For the first time in forever, there is a brokenness because of my sin and because of your sin. That God the Father, who was holy, had to turn his back on his own son, because in that moment, Jesus Christ became the propitiation for our sin. In that moment, Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for you and I, so that God could be satisfied towards sin and he'd never have to pour out his wrath on you and I. And in that moment, God's wrath is poured out on Jesus, and Jesus screeches, my God, why have you turned your back? Why have you abandoned? Why have you forsaken me? There is a pain in this spiritually, but there's a purpose. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11 says this. And church, when you see this, you've got this fellowship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You've got this fellowship between God and his Son Jesus that has been eternal and forever. And you see, even in verse 4, you see that he was smitten of God and afflicted. The word smitten means that he was punished. He was punished. He was afflicted. Another word for smitten is that he was slaughtered. And then you get to a place in verse 10, it says this. But the Lord was pleased to crush him and bring him to grief. What? You mean the Father was pleased? The word pleased here, get this? It means he took delight. That the Father took delight in crushing. The word crushing, it means to break to pieces. His own son. That God is the one who smitten him. God is the one who punished him. God is the one who slaughtered him. And he was afflicted, which means he was humiliated. God punished and slaughtered his own son and humiliated his own son. And that the Lord was pleased to do so. What? Watch this. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would, please hear this, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. That Jesus would fully surrender to this. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Here's the surrender piece. Let your will be done. And in that moment, there is this rendering himself to the will of the Father, because it pleased the Lord to crush his own son and put him to grief. And Jesus surrendered to it. And rendered himself as the guilt offering, as the sacrifice. And he will see, watch this, he will, watch this, here it is. He will see his offspring. And he will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper him in his hand. Look at verse 11. As a result of the rendering himself as a guilt offering, as a result of the anguish of his soul, as a result of the pain of his emotion, as a result of his pain physically, and as a result of his pain spiritually. Watch this. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. My servant will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Please hear this. What is it? What is it that Jesus would see? That there would be many who would be justified. And please hear this, church. This is what this looks like, is that Jesus went through the pain emotionally. He went through the pain physically. He went through the pain spiritually. And at the end of this, that there was a result and there was a purpose, that you would be justified and that I would be justified. And that we'd understand what it is by the beautiful work of the cross, that I would be bought back and paid for. And the Bible says this, that Jesus was then satisfied, which means he has no regret. I do believe this, and when you unpack this, it really means, in the depth of my love for him, that Jesus looked at this and said, Sean, you're worth it. Sean, you're worth it. God said, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son. Sean, if you would just believe in Jesus, believe the work, believe that there was pain, but yet there was purpose. Believe that he took life on that cross. Believe that no one took his life. This wasn't murder in God's eyes. This was God's plan so that you and I would have life and have it eternal. And Jesus said, I'm full. I'm satisfied. I have no regrets. Because Sean Robert Fell got saved. I have no regrets, because many will be justified. You see the depth of what this is. Prophesied 700 years before it actually happened, Jesus knew it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a moment, if you want to open your cups. You don't have to close your eyes to try to do that. That would be a disaster. Church, when you look at, I love this, because when you look at the truth, that amazing day on that hill, and you look at this was a pre-planned, and you get to this place where Jesus knew it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. There is such fruit to my sacrifice. There is such fruit to my death. It's going to be worth it. And we see Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and who is our King, who is satisfied. His pain, he knew that there was a purpose, that you and I would be justified, and you and I would be forgiven, and you and I would be cleansed, and you and I would be washed, and you and I would be redeemed, and you and I be able to stand before the throne one day and be declared innocent because of the very work of the cross. And Jesus is satisfied with that, and Jesus says it was worth it. It was worth it. Come on, do you know Jesus? Have you come to Christ on his terms, not on your terms? It's only through grace, unearned and undeserved. We try. Haven't missed church in 2 years. Haven't missed a tithe in 2 years. I'm working at it. Church, come on, it's not your church attendance. It certainly isn't your giving. It's not your good works. It's not your good deed. It's not your religious class. It's not that you come to Believer's Chapel. It's because God loved you, gave his son for you. Jesus Christ paid the price for you, and that you would believe in Jesus. It's just like that. It's only Jesus. Do you know Christ tonight on His terms? Do you repent from your sin? That you acknowledge sin, turn from your sin, change your mind towards your sin, and say, it's my very sin that separates me from God. And it's sin that equals death. But Jesus Christ came and paid the price for death. And I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And I confess that He is my Lord. Come on, with your heads bowed, I just want you to take a minute. And if you have known sin in your life, I don't want to come to the table and make a mockery of the blood. I just ask that you would take a look at the work of the cross and know that Jesus came for this purpose. Knowingly put Himself on that tree to pay the ultimate price for sin. I just want to give you a minute that you just take a second and say, Lord, forgive me. I mean, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you take this moment right now. Say, Lord, forgive me. I repent from my sin. Jesus, I need you. I'm asking that you would forgive me. I see the cross, and I see I was the purpose of that cross. And you said that I was worth it. And in this moment, I turn my life to you. I surrender. I surrender. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. In the same way, he took the cup, the new covenant in my blood, as often as you drink this. And I love this for tonight. Please hear it. I love where Jesus says, as often as you drink this. And he said this, he said, remember, go back to that place and remember the work. Remember the ugliness of it, but remember the purpose of it, that you would be forgiven. And I love this, that every time we come to the table and every time we take communion, we are reminded that we are free and that we are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough to cover my sin. I want you to remember that tonight, no matter where you're at, that you know Jesus Christ, your blood was enough. He says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. Well, let's pray, and then let's just worship, and let's praise, and let's be reminded that Jesus Christ is worthy, that He is worthy to be worshiped and praised and honored and adored. Come on, Lord, we thank you so much. Jesus, we owe you everything, and we thank you for the cross. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. We're amazed at what you went through. We thank you for your pain. We thank you for your suffering. That we are the result. Salvation is the result. Freedom from guilt and shame is the result. We love you, Jesus. Come on, church, let's worship.